Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The first reading is from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way I have commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel. Who brought you up out of the land of Egypt?' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, "It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth"? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From the Psalms. We'll read responsively. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. So you are just and I
Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb.
Indeed, you delight in truth deep within me, and would have me know wisdom deep within.
Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my wickedness.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me.
The last reading is from Luke, excuse me. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or that woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord.
And our reading is from Timothy, 1 Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I have acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, I read this and I find myself thinking, I sure hope that I do not press Jesus Christ to show the utmost patience. Huh? You may be seated. This week, I've been thinking about seekers. You see, when I came out of seminary about 18 years ago, there was a lot of energy around the church in the church growth movement about seeker-friendly ministries. The notion was that we should have special segregated services of worship that were seeker-friendly. These would be places without all the churchiness of the church, so that the newcomers don't feel intimidated. To be sure, there is value in making sure that our welcome is a welcome that opens space for newcomers. Some of you have read that I argue, along with others, Diana Butler Bass in particular, that hospitality ought to do two things. First, our walls need to be porous. True welcome starts out, way out there in the world. This welcome, the seeker friendliness, begins with how each and every one of us moves in the world, how we encounter people, how we live. My mom used to tell the story of a woman, a nurse, who joined the congregation my father served. When asked her story about joining, she told those who would listen that there were two doctors at her work. And they always spoke with respect for fellow staff, no matter what station they held in the office, but also in how they always treated their patients with dignity. In her experience, that was not always the case. She kept wondering what was different about these two. Then she learned that they attended the same church. And she decided that maybe, just maybe, that church made the difference. While there are many other stories to be told, the other thing that you have heard me or read me saying about hospitality is that true hospitality anticipates what people need before they even know that they need it. Such hospitality meets them, greets them, engages them, welcomes them, but most of all, gently supports them with what they need, without being intrusive. It takes a careful and attentive touch. There is no one size fits all. I can say that I have been in congregations where newcomers could walk right in through the doors, worship all day, and return out the doors, and nobody would have noticed that they were present. I've been in congregations where people talked about my predecessor as a brand new pastor. I was there, and they talked about my predecessor not engaging in conversation. And so I, wanting not to be like that predecessor that they were saying things about, made sure that after worship, after greeting people, I ran to my office and took off my vestments and came out to be in conversation, and I floated on the perimeter of no fewer than 5 different circles of conversation, never to be invited into one of them. I found myself wondering if this is how they treat their new pastor, whom they told they were so excited that he was there. What must it be like for a newcomer who isn't sure that they have a place in this community? So yes, we need to be seeker-friendly, a place that extends hospitality and care for folks way out there in the community and in our lives, as well as in here. Then I started reading these parables. First, we have to pay close attention to the setup. This is important. You see, the faithful ones, the righteous ones, the religious ones are watching Jesus. And well, they were perplexed by who he shares table fellowship with. And they are getting just a little judgy, as some would say today. And to this judgy human nature that Jesus speaks stories of seekers. The first seeker parable is about a shepherd who lost a sheep. Jesus frames the story in such a way that it presumes that every one of the rest of us would do exactly what this shepherd does, leave the 99 behind to find the one. And when that shepherd finds that one, well, there is so much joy. In fact, it calls for a party for friends and relatives and acquaintances and neighbors. Everyone comes to celebrate, just so there is rejoicing in heaven when one is found, when one sinner repents. The second story of a seeker is a woman who absolutely knew where she had all of her drachmas, but she has lost one. Perhaps we all know that feeling, that sinking experience. She looks everywhere. She expends precious oil, lighting the lamp to look for it. She looks high, she looks low, she sweeps the floor. And when she finds it, well, she calls all her friends and relatives and acquaintances and neighbors. And there is much rejoicing. So too, there is much rejoicing in heaven for any who are transformed by God's grace. Now, we did not hear the third story today. It is about a father whose son is lost. And yet this father knows better than to seek because, you know, distancers can always outrun pursuers. The father bides his time and waits. But this is a story for next week. What I find myself wrestling with is that the seeker in these stories is not the sinner, is not the coin, is not the sheep, is not the lost one. Rather, the seeker is the divine. God persists in reaching out and welcoming and finding. To me, this seems to be a stunning reversal from the way that we tend to see the world, to see each other. We call the seekers the ones who are looking for a relationship with God. And the truth of the matter is that the seeker is God. Seeking relationship. What if we take seriously that God has claimed each and every one of us to join in that ministry of seeking? Perhaps rather than sitting in judgment of those who show up, we could be a place that rejoices and welcomes and celebrates. Perhaps even as we watch for and welcome and indeed seek and find, just perhaps we could go out and gather our friends and relatives and acquaintances and neighbors and invite them to celebrate with us. Come, rejoice that God has sought and found and welcomed all of these people. And just maybe we'll find that we join Jesus around this table with a whole bunch of sinners and eat with them. In that moment, God's love just might change everything for each and every one of us. Let us not forget who the true seeker is and how that loving divine one has called each of us to be the hands of hospitality and welcome of God for all whom the pious and the religious would rather exclude. Let us rejoice with the divine seeker in all who are found.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.